Mrs. Pierce, this is Eliza's father. He has come to take her away.
No!
Give her to him.
No, this is a misunderstanding. Listen here.
He can't take her away, Mr. Higgins. How can he? You told me to burn her clothes.
That's right. I can't carry the girl through the streets like a blooming monkey, can I? I'll put it to you.
You have put it to me that you want your daughter. Take your daughter. If she has no clothes, go out and buy her some.
Where's the clothes she come in? Did I burn them, or did your missus here?
I am the housekeeper, if you please. I have sent for some clothes for your girl. When they come, you can take her away. You can wait in the kitchen. This way, please.
Listen here, Governor. You and me is men of the world, ain't we?
Oh, men of the world, are we? You'd better go, Mrs. Pierce.
I think so, indeed, sir.
The floor is yours, Mr. Doolittle.
Oh, I thank you, Governor. Well, the truth is, I've taken a sort of fancy to you, Governor. And if you want the girl, I'm not so set on having her back home again, but what I might be open to an arrangement. Regarded in the light of a young woman, she's a fine, handsome girl. As a daughter, she's not worth her keep, and so I tell you straight, all I ask is my rights as a father, and you're the last man alive to expect me to let her go for nothing, for I can see you're one of the straight sort, Governor. Well, what's a £5 out to you, and what's Eliza to me?
I think you ought to know, Doolittle, that Mr. Higgins's intentions are entirely honourable.
Of course they are, Governor. If I thought they wasn't, I'd ask 50.
Do you mean to say, you callous rascal, that you would sell your daughter for £50?
Oh, not in a general way, I wouldn't, but to oblige a gentleman like you, I'd do a good deal, I do assure you.
Have you no morals, man?
Can't afford them, Governor. Neither could you if you was as poor as me. Not that I mean any harm, you know, but if Liza is going to have a bit out of this, why not me too?
I don't know what to do, Pickering. There can be no question that as a matter of morals, it's a positive crime to give this chap a farthing. And yet I feel a sort of rough justice in his claim.
That's it, Governor. That's all I say. A father's heart, as it were.
Well, I know the feeling, but really, it seems hardly right.
Oh, don't say that, Governor. Don't look at it that way. What am I? Governors both. I ask you, what am I? I'm one of the undeserving poor. That's what I am. Think of what that means to a man. It means he's up again middle-class morality all the time. If there's anything going and I put in for a bit of it, it's always the same story. You're undeserving, so you can't have it. But my needs is as great as the most deserving widow that's ever got money out of 6 different charities in 1 week for the death of the same husband. I don't need less than a deserving man. I need more. I don't eat less hearty than him, and I drink a lot more. I want a bit of amusement, cos I'm a thinking man. I want cheerfulness and a song and a band when I feel low. Well, they charge me just the same for everything as they charge the deserving. What is middle-class morality? Just an excuse for never giving me anything. Therefore, I ask you, as two gentlemen, not to play that game on me. I'm playing straight with you. I ain't pretending to be deserving. I'm undeserving, and I mean to go on being undeserving. I like it, and that's the truth. Will you take advantage of a man's nature to do him out of the price of his own daughter, what he's brought up and fed and clothed by the sweat of his brow until she's growed big enough to be interesting to you two gentlemen? Is £5 unreasonable? I put it to you, and I leave it to you.
Pickering, if we were to take this man in hand for 3 months, he could choose between a seat in the cabinet and a popular pulpit in Wales.
What do you say to that, Doolittle?
Not me, Governor, thank you kindly. I've heard all the preachers and all the prime ministers, for I'm a thinking man and game for politics or religion or social reform, same as all the other amusements. And I tell you, it's a dog's life any way you look at it. Undeserving poverty is my line. Taking one station in society with another, it's the only one that has any ginger in it, to my taste.
I suppose we must give him a fiver.
He'll make bad use of it, I'm afraid.
Not me, Governor. So help me, I won't. Don't you be afraid that I'll save it and spare it and live idle on it. There won't be a penny of it left by Monday. I'll have to go to work same as if I'd never had it. It won't pauperise me, you bet. Just one good spree for myself and the missus, giving pleasure to ourselves and employment to others and satisfaction to you. To think it's not been thrown away. You couldn't spend it better.
This is irresistible. Let's give him 10.
Oh, no, Governor. She wouldn't have the heart to spend 10, and perhaps I shouldn't neither. £10 is a lot of money. Makes a man feel prudent-like, and then goodbye to happiness. You give me what I ask you, Governor. Not a penny more, not a penny less.
Why don't you marry that missus of yours? I rather draw the line at encouraging that sort of immorality.
Tell her so, Governor. Tell her so. I'm willing. It's me that suffers by it. I've no hold on her. I've got to be agreeable to her. I've got to give her presents. I've got to buy her clothes, something sinful. I'm a slave to that woman, Governor, just because I'm not her lawful husband. And she knows it too. Catch her marrying me. Take my advice, Governor. Marry Eliza while she's young and don't know no better. If you don't, you'll be sorry for it after. If you do, she'll be sorry for it after. But better you than her, because you're a man and she's only a woman and don't know how to be happy anyhow.
Pickering, if we listen to this man another minute, we shall have no convictions left. £5, I think you said?
Thank you kindly, Governor.
You're sure you won't take 10?
Not now. Another time, Governor.
Here you are.
Oh. Thank you, Governor. Good morning. Oh, thank you, pardon, miss.
Go on, don't you know your own daughter?
What? Lord, Miss Eliza.
This. Don't I look silly?
Silly?
Now, Mr. Higgins, please don't say anything to make the girl conceited about herself.
Oh, quite right, Mrs. Pierce. Yes, damn silly.
Please, sir.
I mean extremely silly.
I should look all right with my hat on.
A new fashion, by George, and it ought to look horrible.
Well, I never thought she'd clean up as good-looking as that, Governor. She's a credit to me, ain't she?
I tell you, it's easy to clean up here. Hot and cold water on tap, just as much as you like there is. Woolly towels there is, and a towel, or so hot it burns your fingers. Soft brushes to scrub yourself, and a wooden bowl of soap smelling of primroses. Now I know why ladies is so clean. Washing's a treat for him. Wish they saw what it is for the like of me.
I'm glad the bathroom met with your approval.
It didn't. Not all of it. And I don't care who hears me say it. Mrs. Pierce knows.
What was wrong, Mrs. Pierce?
Oh, nothing, sir. It doesn't matter.
I had a good mind to break it. I didn't know which way to look. But I hung a towel over it, I did.
Over what?
Over the looking glass, sir.
Doolittle, you have brought your daughter up too strictly.
Me? I never brought her up at all, except to give her a lick of a strap now and again. Don't put it on me, Governor. She ain't accustomed to it, you see, that's all. But she'll soon pick up your free and easy ways.
I'm a good girl, I am. And I won't pick up no free and easy ways.
Eliza, if you say again that you're a good girl, your father shall take you home.
Not him. You don't know my father. All he come here for was to touch you for some money to get drunk on.
Well, what else would I want money for? To put into the plate in church, I suppose?
Nah.
Here, don't you give me none of your lip. And don't let me hear you giving this gentleman any of it, neither. Or you'll hear from me about it, see?
Have you any further advice to give her before you go, Doolittle? Your blessing, for instance?
No, Governor. I ain't such a mug as to put up my children to all and know myself. Hard enough to weld them in without that. If you want Eliza's mind improved, Governor, you do it yourself with a strap. So long, gentlemen.
Stop! You'll come regularly to see your daughter. It's your duty, you know. My brother is a clergyman, and he could help you in your talks with her.
Certainly I'll come, Governor. Not just this week, because I've got a job at a distance, but later on you may depend on me. Afternoon, gentlemen. Afternoon, ma'am.
Don't you believe the old liar. He'd as soon you set a bulldog on him as a clergyman. You won't see him again in a hurry.
I don't want to, Eliza. Do you?
Not me. I don't want never to see him again, I don't. He's a disgrace to me, he is, collecting dust instead of working at his trade.
What is his trade, Eliza?
Taking money out of other people's pockets into his own. His proper trade's a navvy, and he works at it sometimes too, for exercise, and earns good money at it. Ain't you going to call me Miss Doolittle any more?
I beg your pardon, Miss Doolittle. It was a slip of the tongue.
Oh, I don't mind. Only it sounded so genteel. I should just like to take a taxi to the corner of Tottenham Court Road and get out there and tell it to wait for me, just to put the girls in their place a bit. I wouldn't speak to them, you know.
We'd better wait till we get you something really fashionable.
Besides, you shouldn't cut your old friends now that you have risen in the world. That's what we call snobbery.
You don't call the like of them my friends now, I should hope. They took it out of me often enough with their ridicule when they had the chance. And now I mean to get a bit of me own back. But if I'm to wear fashionable clothes, I'll wait. I should like to have some. Mrs. Pierce says you're going to give me some to wear in bed at night, different to what I wear in the daytime. But it do seem a waste of money when you could get something to show. Besides, I never could fancy changing into cold things on a winter's night.
Now, Eliza, the new things have come for you to try on.
Ah!
Don't rush about like that, girl.
Pickering, we have taken on a stiff job.
Higgins, we have.